Here's a lighter side of diplomacy, a story about Zbigniew Brzezinski. He died last week at the age of 89. Brzezinski had a long career in foreign policy, including serving as President Jimmy Carter's national security advisor. But one person is remembering Brzezinski not for who he was, but for who he almost was. Trita Parsi was Brzezinski's student at Johns Hopkins, and one day his professor told him a kind of wild story.
So we were having lunch at a Chinese restaurant downtown D.C. on K Street. We're talking about foreign policy. This was at a moment in which there hadn't yet been a diplomatic opening between the United States and Iran on the nuclear issue. So there was a lot of concern, of course, that this could lead to a military confrontation. And we were talking about different scenarios. And out of the blue, he turns to me and said, "Oh, by the way, did you know that I almost became Iran's foreign minister?"
By the way.
Such a bizarre turn of events in that conversation. And I was, needless to say, quite stunned. The idea that Zbigniew Brzezinski, you know, the son of a Polish aristocrat, would end up being the foreign minister of Iran made absolutely no sense.
So tell us how it transpired that that Zbigniew Brzezinski almost became Iran's foreign minister. It started when he was a boy in Warsaw, right?
Exactly. He was in Warsaw. His father was a diplomat for the Polish government, and he was on travel quite often. And during those travels, his mother had apparently developed a liking for the Iranian ambassador to Warsaw, and the passion was quite mutual, and the ambassador wanted Zbigniew's mother to marry him and get divorced, and told Zbigniew's mom that, "We'll move to Iran. I'll put Zbigniew, who was a young man, but already then clearly a very, very sharp child, in the same boarding school as the son of the Shah. They will grow up together, and the Shah will make him Iran's foreign minister." His mom said that that's not possible. This is Poland. It's a Catholic country. Divorce is not really an option. And the Iranian ambassador, apparently, according to this version of the story, said that that's not an issue. He can arrange for Zbigniew's dad to be taken care of, essentially. Huh. At that point, Zbigniew's mom cuts off all contacts with the ambassador and ends the relationship. And that's how it ends. And that's why Zbigniew didn't end up becoming Iran's foreign minister.
I'm thinking that that promise, or half-promise, as you say, was probably made in the heat of lust. But through a couple of sources, you were able to confirm the story, right?
Well, what had happened was this, that a couple of decades later, Zbigniew has dinner, a state dinner, at the White House with the Shah, President Carter, and the Shah's wife, Empress Farah. The conversation wasn't particularly great. It was no secret that the Shah was not a fan of neither the Democratic Party and certainly not of President Carter. So to lighten the atmosphere, Zbigniew turns to the Empress and says, "Did you know, by the way, that I almost became your husband's foreign minister?" And the Empress is quite stunned and shocked, obviously. And then Zbigniew goes on to tell the story, and she was very, very fascinated. She ends up returning to Iran and starts investigating the story, identifies who that ambassador was, and contacts him. 3 weeks later, Zbigniew gets a letter in the White House from someone in Iran who opens the letter by saying, "Dear would-be brother," or "dear almost brother," it's the son of the Iranian ambassador.
Incredible.
Who in the letter tells him that Farah had inquired about this, that his father confirmed Zbigniew's story, with the exception of a few details. And you can imagine what those details were.
So it seems like a crazy story, and who knows if any of this would have transpired. But legally, was there anything stopping the Shah, if he had remained in power in Iran, from naming a Polish-born man as foreign minister?
No, nothing would really have prevented him from doing so, particularly if it had transpired the way the ambassador had envisioned it, meaning that he would have married her and that Zbigniew would have ended up going into the same boarding school in Switzerland together with the Shah. At that point, I don't think there would have been any legal impediments. And history would obviously have ended up being quite different because wherever Zbigniew went, he did impact history.
It tells us a lot about Iran's ambassador to Warsaw and about Zbigniew's mother. What do you think it tells us about Zbigniew Brzezinski story?
Well, I think it says the fact that the ambassador used the idea that Zbigniew could become the foreign minister of Iran already then tells you what an impressive intellect Zbigniew must have been to have made that impact on the ambassador.
It's ironic that Zbigniew became the national security advisor to the White House and not Iran's foreign minister. And when I think of Zbigniew's credentials, it takes you to a different time when academics who were also road tested in the world of diplomacy had the president's ear.
Yes, it's quite different from what it is today. You know, there were some giants back then. And remember, Zbigniew and Kissinger were students together at Harvard. They obviously ended up being very fierce rivals. But both of them were of European background. Both of them spoke with a rather heavy accent. And both of them had an absolutely unmatched, unparalleled impact on U.S. foreign policy in the second half of the last century.
Trita Parsi there. He was the Zbigniew Brzezinski's student at Johns Hopkins. Parsi now heads the Iranian American Council and is the author of Losing an Enemy, Obama, Iran, and the Triumph of Diplomacy.